Well, can I just say, like, this, okay, just to interrupt just for a second, because there's
you're actually not interrupting. I'm letting you talk. So okay, there was no interruption. I had finished that sentence. So this is just conversation.
Okay,
we're just talking.
We're just talking.
Yeah, you're interrupting. This is interrupting.
You're interrupting.
No,
you're interrupting. Hi everyone, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick,
and I'm your friend Ian Boothby.
Oh, someone has one-upped me, and I'm your enemy, David Dedrick.
That's right. So we've set the table there. You're the enemy, I am the friend.
As usual.
One of us tells the truth, one of us can only tell lies. Was I telling a lie when I said I was the friend? You were allowed to ask us one question.
But I always remember what I used to say, the yes man is your enemy. So if the person is telling you the truth is the enemy, mm-hmm, the person who's telling you lies is your friend.
Right. And when you assume, you use past experiences to color your judgment and save time in a way that is effective. So remember that. Always assume.
Always assume.
I assume this is going to be a good show. Am I lying?
I would say that you... Wait, you're the friend?
Am I?
You're lying.
Yes. Wait a second. You fear the yes man. Is that why you're so bad at improv?
Yes.
Wait, is that all? Okay, enough of this bullshit. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show.
That's right. That's enough Dave bullshit. Now we're going to do the show.
Right? No.
No, it's going to be totally serious. 100%. No jokes.
Right.
We're going to tell it like it is.
Now, Dave, I don't know if you noticed, but there's actually 1.5 less buildings in the neighborhood now. We had one of our famous fires that we have in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Every so often, about every year, mm-hmm, year and a half or so, a fire by, and I'm making air quotes, accident,
yes,
happens. And then
it's called a condoflagration.
That's right. Because shortly after that, either a new big business or a condo goes up,
yep,
and people make millions and millions of dollars on these accidents. Now, they may in fact be accidents. I agree that that's possible. I just think it's a real bad idea when people can make millions and millions of dollars, tens to hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe that encourages accidents. Maybe that's not an accident prevention system that would be good in the neighborhood.
Probably not.
Yes.
Probably not.
So anyway, the other day I was like walking down the street here and like almost all the lights on Main Street went out. And it really didn't affect a lot of – well, the reason was because of the fire. Blew out all the lights somehow, or they shut off the lights for electricity purposes or something, the fire department.
Yeah.
But it was weird how it didn't affect so many people. Like they were all in coffee shops, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the lights go off and they're all on their laptops, right, in their screenplays. And it's just like, so?
Yeah.
Nothing. We got battery power. Okay, so now I'm this in the dark.
So 2 hours later, they all would have been in a panic.
Yeah, because their batteries would have drained. But also in restaurants, for the most part, the people who had their food, they were still eating their food to candlelight. I mean,
iPhone light. I think they were holding their iPhones up and using that as light.
But they can't turn off strobe, so they were having seizures.
Is there such an app called strobe?
Oh, yeah. There's strobe apps.
What would be the point?
Because people like to have a little strobe light.
Have a spontaneous rave.
Yeah.
You'd
Why
like,
don't people
Everybody
love-
rave
that. That's right. That's how a rave sounds.
You know what?
Dave, next time you're going to do your rave impression, let me know and I will do some E shortly before.
Okay.
Why did I buy all this E if I'm not going to use it? I can't write it off.
What does a rave sound like?
A rave? I don't know. I'm too high on E. You know what a rave sounds like to me? The most beautiful music in the world.
In the world.
That's it.
That's what it is.
It's like God speaking, but through rainbows that taste like bacon.
Wow.
That bacon rainbows from God's mouth. That is what music sounds like at a rave.
Yep.
And I don't eat bacon. And I don't believe in God for the most part. So there's a lot. I'm not really even sure about rainbows, frankly.
Yeah, I don't believe in rainbows.
I think that's
believe in God and I eat bacon, but I do not believe in rainbows.
Okay.
That is curious.
That is very curious. Now, what's your stance on leprechauns?
Leprechauns? I do believe in leprechauns.
It's okay.
I know. It's just the whole rainbow thing. I just have a hard time with.
Oh, no, that's fine. I don't want to,
Prove there is such a thing as rainbows.
Okay. Unfortunately, it's a sunny day, so I've got no ability to do that.
Case closed, everybody.
I was going to say, I assume. Nah.
I'm going to dust off my hands because of that hard work I did with that difficult argument that I just completely threw together.
It is weird whenever we debate, your hands get quite dusty. I don't know what that is. I think that's psoriasis. I don't think it's dust.
A form of scoliosis. No, not scoliosis.
Scoliosis, that's right. Yeah. You really threw your back out on that argument.
You said psoriasis, right?
Yes, I did. I said the correct thing, and then you said scoliosis.
You said the wrong thing. Eczema? Does that work?
Dave, I have people with scoliosis in my family. I don't find that funny at all.
Oh.
Because I've done all those jokes before. Let me tell you the rest.
I'm now, my mind is like racing, trying to think of little puns for scoliosis. And you know what? Nothing.
No.
Nothing's going
on. On the drive home, you will, though. And then you'll like start writing them down and like, keep your eyes on the wheel, Dedrick, says your inner voice.
You know what? When I go home today, I get to go over the new bridge.
Oh, what? I don't know what the new bridge is.
It's oh, well, you know, the...
Say, also, our listeners are from around the world. We have listeners in England, Australia.
Poor guy.
Which one, the England or Australia?
Take your choice.
All right, I will. I'm going to assume you meant England.
Okay.
All right. Yes. I'm the yes man that you do not believe. Okay, so to our listeners from other lands and mm-hmm. me who doesn't drive,
okay.
What are you talking about? What bridge?
Okay, well, there is a great bridge here. The classic bridge, the metal bridge, you know, with a kind of arch that goes from side to side with that holds the platform.
Right. If you were to draw a bridge, that would probably be the bridge.
That would be the bridge you draw.
When everyone picture a bridge, that's the bridge.
That's a bridge.
Wait, no, you got one of you was picturing the Golden Gate Bridge. Don't be specific. Generic bridge, that's the one. Okay, go ahead.
This bridge was built in the 60s.
Right.
Everyone's
on acid.
Well, that would explain why people died making the bridge. They fell off the bridge and died.
Oh, okay.
Acid.
Okay.
Someone don't eat the brown acid. They didn't pay attention. Next thing you know, in the drink.
London Bridge is falling down.
London Bridge.
Fair hippie.
They built this bridge. It was a two-lane bridge.
Troubled waters.
It was a two-lane bridge going on a major highway that crosses Canada. So this major highway that goes all the way across Canada.
Which is called, and the major highway that crosses Canada, for those of you that don't know, is called Yonge Street.
Yonge Street?
Yeah, that's okay. The major highway.
That is a long street.
Yeah, it goes all the way across Canada.
It's a long street.
And into parts of China.
Wow, it is long.
Their Chinatown actually is in China. Mm. That is how long Yonge Street is.
Wow.
Okay, please continue.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll believe you. No, okay. Yonge Street is in Toronto?
Yes, it is.
It's really long, isn't it?
Oh, it's very, very long.
Because I think it like goes for... Because I think it goes through various
cities. It's a Mobius strip. It loops back on itself.
It goes through other cities. Mm-hmm. Yonge Street.
It goes many, many places. By the way, rest in peace, Sam the Record Man passed away this week.
Yeah.
Whenever I think Yonge Street, I think Sam the Record Man and the iconic building.
Yeah.
And I always think of John Candy and Joe Flaherty in that old SCTV sketch, which I'll post, of them walking up Yonge Street. They're always like, hey, Yonge Street, let's go down Yonge Street. It's great. I'll post it. Okay. Please continue with your bridge story.
Okay. Well, it's not really a story. I was just going to say... So this classic bridge that was built in the 60s that had two lanes, which they later squeezed two more lanes into it to make it a four-lane bridge, an uncomfortably close four-lane bridge.
Okay.
They're now replacing it with an eight-lane bridge that's one of those new kind of suspension kinds with the tall pillars with the cables that come in and support it.
And with Wi-Fi.
It has Wi-Fi because of the cables.
That's right.
No.
Oh, okay. So
it's cable.
Oh, it's cable?
Yeah.
That'd be nice if it was a Wi-Fi bridge and there was no cable.
You don't want a Wi-Fi bridge.
All right.
You don't want to go across a wireless bridge.
Okay.
They tend to fall in the water.
All right.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Sure.
No Wi-Fi.
Okay. What's the name of this bridge?
I don't know.
Oh, well. Going over a bridge you don't know the name of.
Because I don't know if they named
Dave,
it.
Dave, you'll cross that bridge when you come
okay,
to
well,
it.
Okay, well, the original bridge. The original bridge was the Portman.
Okay.
You know the Portman Bridge.
Yes, I'm familiar with the name.
Okay.
I'm sure I've gone over it.
You must have gone over it. So
it was named after a man who used to live here who liked to drink port.
That's right. Not the area of the river it crosses over that's also called Portman.
Well, the reason they named it after him was he was Canada's first drunk driver, was called the Portman.
Okay.
And he was a guy, I'm not putting down my port. And he would just start driving all over the place. And yeah. Everyone clear the roads.
Yeah.
The Portman's on them.
Okay.
And so they built him his own bridge just to let him, you know, go about his drunky business. Uh-huh. And then one day he just drove off it. And ironically hit someone who was on acid.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It all ties together.
That's right.
Thank you.
So don't do drugs. Don't drink and drive.
So,
but
yeah.
do E if you're going to listen to a story by Dave.
So
please continue.
The best part of it, though, is it's only open in one direction. So you get to go over this bridge. Mm. Just like zoom onto it.
Right.
Go across this bridge with four spacious lanes. You know, all the you can swerve all you want. Me and Portman drinking in this port. Swerving all, we can swerve all over as much as we want.
Nice.
On the other side. Still under construction, still lane closures. So there's like a 4 mile line of cars.
Right.
And you just go tearing past them in your lane. It's great.
If that's all people trying to jump at Dukes of Hazzard style.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the unfinished bridge.
Well, they're still using the old bridge.
Well, those old Portmanners were in a whole mess of trouble.
poor people. So yeah.
Poor people.
No, I mean,
are we laughing at poor people?
Not poor people, but just pitiful people.
Oh, okay. Pitiful people's different.
I just laughing in that they're pitiable and I feel sorry for them. But not so sorry that I don't laugh at them as I drive past them quickly.
Why would you? You know what? If you didn't laugh at them, that would be condescending.
Exactly. And I don't want to condescend.
No, you just want to call them pitiful.
Yeah.
You don't want to condescend to those pitiful people.
No. I pity them.
You're so close to doing a tongue twister. Come on. You can do it.
I pity these poor people
passing
the portman.
Right.
I can't think of anywhere. Is there more?
Are you pious when you do this?
I am piously pitying the poor people on the portman. The portman... I'm piously pitying the people perishing.
Are you picking on a pack of people?
Yes. Who? Oh. Picking on a pack of people.
Not pedestrians.
Not pedestrians.
I like to pick on a pack of pedestrians.
You like to pick on a pack of pedestrians.
That's right.
I like to pick on people passing over the portman.
Right. You know what people have said that we don't do enough on this show is tongue twisters. Improvised tongue twisters.
That's if I can name one email that we often get.
It's for penis enlargement.
That would be... An amazing amount of people know something intimate about me that I wish they didn't know.
That's right. Well, quit posting those pictures online.
It seems that every day.
Yeah, in every way.
Every day, people, obviously, who have my best interests at heart.
Sure they do.
I don't think that they're being mean.
No.
You know, they're obviously trying to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've seen a problem.
Right.
And they're just trying to, you know, give me some advice. But what I found with those ads is that it leads to a lot of extra junk mail.
Mm.
Like, don't respond to them.
Mm-mm.
And if you write back to them, they never write back to you.
Oh.
I don't know what it is.
Sad.
Yeah.
Now you know what your grandma feels like.
You said it.
Yeah. You know, your grandma who sends you enlarger penis messages. She meant to send $5 in the envelope. She actually put a coupon in there.
That's right.
For dick enlargement.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't invite her over for Christmas anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Be hung like a donkey. I'm like, what kind of message is this to send?
Well, she remembers you used to like Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey, mm-hmm. the Christmas special.
Yes.
And I'm going to try and keep this one clean this week. So I'm going to get off
this. Yeah, just get off it because last week
I'm going to get off this.
Do you know why? I realized why we had that topic last week, though.
Okay, why?
Because down below us on the street, there's a comic book store.
That's true.
RX Comics.
Mm-hmm. Your prescription.
Your prescription.
For your comics blues.
For your comics blues. Is that that's their tagline?
Well, they use a thing about we've got the prescription or whatever for it, which is weird because last week we were also talking about a video store that was called Prescription Video that had that kind of theory. So it looks like RX have no imagination.
We've got your dose of comics.
Right. By the way, the owner of that just had a lovely baby this week. So congratulations, Aaron, on your child.
Congratulations.
Well done. And I believe it arrived on a Wednesday. As was appropriate.
Yeah, is that right? Really?
I don't know, but it would be funny if it was.
That would be great, actually. Too great. But anyway, on the front, they have drawings by various artists.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And at this time, there's a drawing by James Stokoe.
It's been there for about a year.
Who is the fabulous author of a really good comic called Orkstein.
Okay.
And he has a character named One Eye.
All right.
And so he has a drawing of One Eye on the front of the store.
Excellent.
Holding a spear.
Sounds great.
With severed penises hanging from it.
Oh, you've lost me.
Right there at street level for everyone to look at.
Right.
Mothers, daughters, grandmothers.
Husbands, wives.
Follow
the piper for their lives.
Nuns, vicars, whatever. They can all see
Indian
it.
Indian chiefs,
railroad engineers, butlers. Craven cowards.
Once again, we're back on our listing random things. That's the other email we get a lot. It's like, please, more tongue twisters. Two, more random lists of just things. If you could list Smarties colors or just anything, you know what? It really puts the baby to sleep.
I remember that show. I actually liked that show a lot.
What was that show?
We started listing stuff.
Oh, our show. I thought there was actually a TV show you were talking about that was listing things as you go to sleep.
No, no.
When my wife and I are up a little bit too late, there's a show that's on called How It's Made. And it's the best show for going to sleep.
Is that about how food is made?
No. Well, it could be. It's about anything. So, like, there was one like drumsticks and, rims for tires or just anything. Like, the smallest thing, like buttons. How do they make a button? And that's 10 minutes on, and then we do this.
Yeah.
And then they do that. And then they do this, and then they do that, and now you're asleep, and you're under my power.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so relaxing. It's the most relaxing show in the world. And you put it on and go like, well, I don't want to watch this. But then you're like, how are drumsticks made? Wow, they really do work really hard to match them up perfectly.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Do they make them on a lathe? Like, is it a power, like a lathe that...
originally it's on a lathe, and the tips are done in almost like a pencil sharpener type situation.
Oh, okay.
But then it becomes this real intricate system of like weighing them precisely so that you match up drumsticks that are exactly the same weight.
Because you wouldn't want a drummer to get one giant arm and then one arm thin because of the different
weights. The weird thing about that is you would think that your right arm actually would be stronger than your left arm, so perhaps you would want them to be a little bit of a different weight if you were really thinking about it and you wanted to evenly distribute the power. But that's not for me to judge. I am not a drummer, everybody. I am not a drummer.
Yeah, but when you lift weights, you don't add extra weight for your left side.
I understand that, but that's because you're trying to even things out.
But it's not even, right? You're always using your right arm more or left, depending what side you are.
Oh, is that right? Okay, fair enough. Maybe you are the drummer in this group. I don't know. You're the music lover. Let's go with that. You're more musically proficient.
Well, I wouldn't say musically proficient or adept. I am actually not a very good musician.
Are you? Well, what instruments do you play?
I played the trumpet in high school.
Okay, you played the guitar a little bit.
I played the guitar a little bit during high school.
Have you ever played drums?
I tried to play drums, but I couldn't. I couldn't even do the common. Do you know if there's ever drums anywhere? There's always someone who sits down on them and he goes, boom, 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 boom.
Yes, they do that.
Everyone does that.
That's why people don't like drummers.
There's lots of reasons, but that's one of them. And then, the boom, 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 that every time. Anyone who...
And so let's hear...
But I can never do that.
Let's hear what it sounds like when you sit down at the drums.
If I do... It sounds more like this. Boom, 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 boom.
That sounds like a cry for help.
Yeah,
Are you okay?
Well, it's just... That's how it goes.
Well, I know you're...
I don't know... Like, my problem is, as I understand, there are various parts of music, but I can never understand how they fit together to make a song, make a sound.
Well, let me ask you this question. How good are you at math?
Not very good.
Interesting. I find there's a little parallel between that. I find a lot of people, like in both cases, people that succeed, it feels like to me, in both music and math. And I was talking to former co-person who was on the show, Sean Stewart, about this from the Justice Pals. He's now studying mathematics.
Yes.
That it's like a language.
Okay.
Like both music and math are like a language, and people don't treat them as that.
Yeah.
You know, but if you treat them like a language that you have to learn, it's like people who actually learn a lot of languages find it easy to learn math. People that learn languages also can find it easy to learn music if you learn about it in a similar way. You disagree?
Well, I mean, I studied a lot of languages.
But when you studied music, you probably didn't treat it like learning a language. Like, here's the thing with learning a language. If you hear someone talking in another language, you don't go, fuck it. I can't, there's no way. I can't learn that. Blah, blah, boo. But there's something about music that if you play it, you don't get it at first, you go, man, I'm just no good. I'm no good.
Oh, but if I played you treat it for quite a while.
But if you learn the basics and build your way up and do, you know, it's same thing with math. It's like, you know, you go, ugh, I don't get it. And I'm never going to get, forget, quit, walk away.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a similar part of the brain, apparently, learning languages, learning music, learning mathematics.
Interesting.
Yeah. For people who succeed at it. That's what they say.
I can take a hint.
No. I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't think you do. I'm saying.
I'm a failure. Is what you're telling me.
No.
I'm saying. Pathetic failure.
Not at all.
Failure. Well, loser.
Okay. We'll have to agree. Once again, though, you don't trust the yes man. And I might be the liar. Here we go. I'm just saying, because you have a proficiency for language, unlike Stumblemouth McGinty, me. So I'd say don't give up on music if you're interested in music.
Oh, well, I love listening to it. It's just in terms of playing it. I mean, I played guitar. I played in a rock band.
Did you? What was your band called?
Cannon.
Really? Why don't I remember this?
I don't know. Why don't you remember
I don't know. That's very strange. There's a lot of big parts of my life that I don't remember. How long was Cannon together?
Just a short while. It was when I was in college.
Right. So your band was in continuity.
It was
maybe that's why I'm not remembering it.
It's probably why.
Because it's out of continuity for me. But you're saying it's Cannon.
It is Cannon.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It is Cannon.
So because you guys were big fans of William Conrad.
That's what it was named after.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, I was thinking about my band, Mannix. Manfred Mannix was the original.
Originally,
name,
yeah. Originally, we were Barnaby Jones. Then we became Cannon.
Okay.
You know.
You were so close to becoming Wojak.
Too Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't that into Canadian content.
Okay. Yeah. So how long was the band together?
I don't know, maybe a year and a bit.
And you were the guitar player?
I noisily played the guitar.
And vocals?
There was some intent to make me want to sing, but I'm not a show person. I just realized very early on in my life that...
You're on stage a lot for people that aren't show people.
Is that right? I'm not on stage that much.
Well, okay, well, there's a couple of things. One, you used to be at many... Okay, first of all, we met during stage stuff.
Okay.
Okay, so there's thing one.
Okay, that's...
Very good.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other day, man, there's a lot of people that were in that group. Anyway, one of the people that we jammed with at school, one of them went off to be in the Grapes of Wrath. Do you know that band, people? You should. They're good. And it gives me an excuse now to put up one of their videos. Anyway, occasionally I run into members of the group walking down the street with their babies here on the street. It's very strange.
Nice.
Anyway, so Dave and I met doing stage stuff, which he says he doesn't do. And then, like, whenever I went to see a No Fun show, who would be on the show? That'd be David. He'd be there. Now you're telling me that you are not a stage person, even though you have, like, the person who came up with the idea for this podcast was you. So you're not just putting yourself on stage. You're putting yourself out to the world.
Yeah.
There you go. I think you do have the performer gene in you. Look at you. What are you doing right now? What are you doing right now?
It's
like you're saying you're not a nudist and you're buck-ass naked.
That is a different argument entirely.
Is it?
I don't want to have right now.
Okay.
Because I don't consider myself a nudist.
Okay.
I'm a free spirit.
Okay. Fair enough. Just don't do acid and build a bridge. That's all I'm asking you. All I'm asking you. No, I think you've got the performer gene for sure. But you just have to not think about it.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Because now you've made me very self-conscious and the rest of the show is going to be a disaster.
Fair enough. Well, well, what else is new?
So I like to think that we're just you and I.
Yeah.
No
well, that's
else.
The trick. By the way, that's the trick to all performing.
I guess so.
Okay.
But I could never get that
you know
that person out of my head.
You know who has that problem too is Laurence Olivier. He huge stage fright. Huge stage fright,
is that
especially
right?
In his later years.
Really?
Just crippling stage fright. Yeah. But you got to be so busy that you don't even think about it and you get into it. Yeah, like during his later years especially. And so many actors I know have
singers, brutal
stage. Yeah, the guy from XTC, Simon Peacock?
Andy Partridge.
Andy Partridge. That's what the hell? Simon Peacock is an improviser and comedian. I would like to see Andy Peacock and Simon Partridge. You can see where I'm going with that, right? Yeah, doing cover songs from the Birds.
There you go.
There you go.
They should be doing that. But it does seem to happen, and not right away. It can also be a cumulative thing. Personally, I think Andy Partridge had what his wasn't really stage fright. It was control. He felt like he was losing control of the band, and it was a way for him to retake control of the band.
I would actually say if someone has control issues, that can also be part of stage fright.
Yeah,
because you are opening yourself up to elements you cannot control. You can't control the audience's reaction or what's going to occur or what the tech people are going to do. And if you are someone, and I'm someone who has like control issues sometimes, that can drive you just bananas.
Sure.
You know, and then you can turn out to be an asshole and be one of those director types that like, what the fuck? Da-da-da-da-da. You know, because the one little thing went wrong. And it's like, it drives you nuts because you can't control your environment.
Yeah.
And the bigger the environment, the less control you have. Whereas here we have the illusion of control because it's just you and me and a couple of microphones and these showgirls. I don't know why we pay for them every week, but they're here with their feathers.
And pasties.
That's right.
Which might be why we
Cornish
pay for
pasties.
Cornish pasties.
They're delicious. We've got to like eat during the show.
Which can only be made in Cornwall.
Oh, okay.
It's a law in England.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
We learned that when we were there.
When did you decide that you didn't like performing? Was there a time?
Yep. When we went to do rehearsals for improv, like when we went to the drop in practice or not, you know?
At Theater Sports.
Theater Sports, I should say.
When you did a little scene with Ryan Stiles.
Yes, that's right.
And you went, "Fuck this guy! This loser is on a train to nowhere."
It wasn't that
breaking free, everybody.
I felt like I was on a train to nowhere.
Yeah, you were the Pete Best going, "Fuck this noise! See you later."
I could never get me out of me.
Yeah.
I couldn't get out of my own way.
That's the biggest problem. I think with almost anything, just life, frankly. If
probably
you think
true.
Probably too much about being a dad, you could never be a dad. You're like, how will this affect the rest of her life?
I think you're right. I think you're right there, yeah. And I think when you talk to people, they're like, I'd make a terrible parent. Well, how do you know? Like, and by saying that, you probably would make a great parent.
Yeah.
Because if you're aware that you would have flaws as a parent, then you're going to be extra careful to not be that way.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that would make you a better parent to be aware of. A bad parent would be someone who's, you know what? I bet you'd make a great parent. Do you have a kid? No, but I think it'd be so easy to do and I would be really good at it. And then you wouldn't be a good parent if you think it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, and then no, stop it. You don't get a baby license.
Well, what I've found just generally is people who are good people that I know are good parents. Like, it just goes to that.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are kind of miserable themselves and then they pass that along to the kids. And the kids are anxious,
true, yeah.
anxious little messes. And they're just like,
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, that kid's really nervous.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true. I mean, it's true. I mean, I can't speak.
Judge your friends now.
Yeah.
Judge them.
No, I wasn't going to judge. I was just going to say, for me, my first daughter, Millis, was born.
Right.
Millis pointed out to me the other day that she should be Millis.
When she was born, she pointed something out to you.
No. She pointed out the other day.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
That she should be Millis.
That was
Millis.
Creepy. Like, hello, father.
And then my younger daughter should be Phyllis, because Phyllis, who I originally identified as the crumb spiller, that would be my younger daughter.
Okay.
She is the crumb spiller. She cannot, you can tell wherever she ate by just this huge amount of crumbs and bits of food and stuff.
Well, she's smart. If she walks through the woods, guess who's going to be able to find her way home?
That's right. Hopefully she's eating a sausage roll while she's walking through the woods to leave an appropriate crumb trail.
Once again, though, the birds will eat it.
And that's the end of it. So she really should be eating a rock while she's going for a walk. But yeah, when Millis was born, I made a promise. I said to myself, I'm going to be the best dad that I can be. And I don't want to be mean to my parents, but I'm going to be a different parent than my parents were to me.
As you should be.
I made that promise to myself, because my parents were the 50s style parents, the kind of hands off, you know, oh, you did well at school. That's good. Okay. Off you go. Goodbye. I remember my first year at UBC, I got a scholarship for my marks, and my marks were all, at that time you had first class or second class mark your grade. You didn't get like A, B, C. So I got all firsts my first year there. And so I got a scholarship for my next year. And I told my mom I was really excited. She was not that thrilled. And then she was telling I was in the kitchen and she was telling my grandma about my brother winning the, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a gambling thing.
Okay.
Like for the lottery corporation, you can make a bet and on various teams. And if they all win, then you win money.
Okay. Yep. They used to have that. I remember that.
So he won about $500 doing this.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
It's luck.
Yeah.
If you consider luck impressive, okay,
I got a $4,000 scholarship.
Yeah.
He got $500.
Through effort.
Through effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, through effort. Yeah, I worked really hard. And so
He went to the corner store. Bought a Snickers bar. Bought a scratch and
wasn't a scratch and win. He had to choose the teams. Like he did put some effort into like,
guessing. Well,
this team is good and this team's bad. And
he took an educated guess.
He took an educated guess. That's what betting is.
Right.
So he was betting.
Sometimes betting is not an educated guess, but yes.
My mom was telling my grandma about him winning. And then she hung up the phone. And so I said to her, oh, did you tell grandma about my scholarship? She went, oh, no. I just thought to myself, well, what the
hell? Let me ask you a question about that. Do you think the motivation for that or the reason for that was she didn't want you to get a swelled head, as in like, he's going to think he's better than us?
I don't know.
Because I'm trying to think of the motivation. I've heard that story before. And to me, I'm trying to think like...
Have I told you that story? Oh, I'm sorry.
No. But you haven't told our listeners. So the brother situation, I mean, that's just a basic... I'm thinking that's something grandma can understand. Hey, you know, he won this in a contest. Huzzah. Understood. Everyone understands. Yeah. Everyone gets it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm trying to think what the motivation would be for not... being proud, like, or mentioning that as a source of pride. And the only thing I could think of is like, we don't want him to get a swelled head, or like, we don't want him to think he's better than us, or we don't want this. I can't understand that kind of thing. I can see and again, this isn't your parents. I'm making fictional parents in my head. I can understand some parents that feel a little competitive with their kids, or a little resentful of their kids, because their kids can't, you know, you say you want your kid to, you know, do better than you, but when they do better than you, do they think they're better than you?
Yeah.
You don't want them to think they're better than you.
I can see parents being threatened by that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I feel a little bit of that with my dad. Like, my dad had some things he wanted to do, and then he didn't do a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, he had a job he didn't care for.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant guy. Brilliant. You know, one of these, like, do the New York, you know, Times crossword in pen in a second.
Yeah.
In, like, perfect handwriting that you just go, oh, who's a serial killer? No, he wasn't a serial killer. You would make a good serial killer.
That we know of.
That we know of. That's what you always say when you say someone's not a serial killer.
Well, yeah,
please, always throw the asterisks that we know of.
Especially about someone's father.
That's right.
My dear father.
I'm adopted. Doesn't mean I have the gene.
Okay, you're okay with it. Okay.
But you know, you could tell that he didn't.
But I just want to point out that, you know, it's not all genetics.
Oh, isn't it?
There's a certain amount of you know, it's that whole environment genetics question.
Well,
you know?
We learned that from Dr. Giggles, your favorite movie.
Is it? Is that where that's from?
Yeah. One point, I didn't know that was sewn inside a pregnant woman's belly and had burst out. It was a.
I didn't know that. That's where that whole, you know, genetics.
Yeah, it was all from Dr. Giggles.
There's a name for that, and I can't remember. Nature versus nurture. Yeah, I didn't know that's where that argument started with Dr. Giggles.
Yeah, it was originally nature versus nurture versus suture. So. It was okay. That's the original thing. But my father clearly did not get to do the things that he wanted to do.
Because I don't think anyone's father got to do the things they wanted.
Gotcha. Absolutely.
In most cases. I'm not everyone.
But where it got better was eventually he ended up getting fired from his job or laid off or whatever you call it. You know, we didn't really pursue it.
Yeah.
And we took a real quick dip into being poor.
Uh-huh.
You know, so like my mom was working as a maid and, you know, we're not going on vacations.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're on your own basically, buddy. But he grew his hair long and he just seemed to be like enjoying things more. And he would like go to like computer groups or what have you. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the best things I ever did, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show, was I bought him a computer that like had internet access.
Okay.
You know, because he had like an old Atari and went on the bulletin boards, but it was all really old timey.
Mm-hmm.
And then got him like a proper computer because I was doing okay a little bit at that time. And then he got to sort of talk to other people that were like him. And he never got that because he would go to work and there he's the boss.
Yeah.
And so he's treated as the boss. He would come home. He's dad.
Yeah.
What the fuck else? Like what – you don't get to talk to peers.
Can I just – well – can I just say, like, this, okay. Just to interrupt just for a second? Because there's
actually not interrupting. I'm letting you talk, so there was no interruption. I had finished that sentence.
So
this is just conversation.
Okay,
we're just talking.
We're just talking.
Yeah,
you're interrupting.
This is interrupting. You're interrupting. You're the interrupting.
No, you're interrupting
me.
Okay,
go ahead.
So, I was just going to say, there's a problem, right? When you say that, when I get home, he's dad, and he can't talk to you about, like, isn't that kind of sad? Like, as a father, if you like.
Agreed.
I've really shared all my interests with my daughters. I don't know if they share all my interests back.
Nor should they.
But, which is fine. Like, I don't have any problem with that. I, you know, both, like, we have friends of my daughters will come over and they'll see our library downstairs. We have, in my house, there's two rooms that are the library.
Right.
So there's two rooms with books on the wall, like bookshelves. And we'll have her friends come over and they'll be like, this is amazing. Like this, that's like the greatest thing they've ever seen in their life. Cause they come from homes where, you know, they'll have a bookshelf with some books on it.
Right.
I think we kind of grew up with that in my
home.
Most
of them are Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so, or yeah, that or old Robert Ludlum books or something.
Yeah. One is hollowed out with some whiskey inside.
My mom almost has all the Ruth Rendell novels. Yeah. A is for
Quit
arsenic.
Bragging. That's Sue Grafton.
Oh, Sue Grafton. Oh, sorry. Ruth Rendell's someone different. She's a British author, right?
I'm not sure, but I know
I think
Sue
you're
Grafton.
Right. I think you're right. I think she is British.
Okay. I wasn't actually saying she was
British.
No,
I agree with you. I think she's British.
I don't think you're – okay. Is this how you talk to your children? And you're saying your children agree with you a lot.
That's right. That was Sue. I don't think
you're listening to your children.
Okay. But, you know, my kids have – I've really like – I can't think of too many things that we've done in our lives that are – daughters didn't get to do with us.
Now, do you think, let me just go with a bigger
besides conceive them.
Did you?
Made you nervous.
Well, they did their part as well. In that.
Yes, they did.
You know, they raced their little sperm self as fast as they
that's
could.
That's right. We pitched, they caught.
That's right. They had to beat like a million other sperm. You had the easy job.
Yeah, that's right.
Johnny sex them up. You're already doing that.
It's an enjoyable task.
All of a sudden, they had to like, you know, come into existence.
I'm not arguing with you.
Okay. Holy moly. Did you ever feel, though, as a kid, that you were a pain in the ass to your folks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I felt that.
And not interesting to my parents.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got a bit of that. You know, it was just like, you know, like, get out of here. You know, like, you're a drag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they they definitely loved us.
They loved us, but they also wanted us to go outside.
It'd be nice
for, like,
to,
6 hours.
You know, it'd be nice. Yeah, exactly. Wouldn't it be nice if you went outside and played so we could not have you around?
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I sort of felt. Whereas I feel like with you and your daughters, you actually enjoy them, like, and always have. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was just like, they're in the room. Well, the room's better because they're here.
Yeah.
And I think kids really pick up on that, like, hey, I'm glad you're here. And that really boosts self-confidence and, you know, lets them be more of themselves. Whereas, of like, if you come in the room, this is a big difference I find between now and then, is you get a bunch of adults at a table. And if a kid came up to them in, say, when I was a kid, you know, hey, blah, 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 shh.
Yeah.
Listen, we're doing adult stuff.
Yeah.
You get a lot of shh. Now it's, hey, what? Yeah. Oh, what's up?
Yeah.
And then we all like pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. And then go do your thing and off you go. And it's just like that seems to be night and flipping day.
It does seem to be night and day. Sometimes that can go too far in the other direction too, where you're just listening to a lot of me nonsense.
Yeah.
From the kid, and you're just kind of like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Like, get to the point. What is this, a podcast? That's what you do now. If parents now, instead of, listening, they just give the kid a microphone mm-hmm. and just go, do a podcast. Yeah,
I'll listen to it when I'm going to work.
That's right. If you could just say all your feelings, that'd be fantastic.
That'd be great. That'd be really helpful.
Okay, just put it up on iTunes mm-hmm. so Daddy can hear it.
Well, what's great about having like a library downstairs?
Don't steal Daddy's guests.
Don't steal Daddy's guests.
Don't steal Daddy's. You are not interviewing Ty Templeton. Daddy's got to interview Ty
That's
Templeton.
Right. Oh, I can't believe you got them. What a get. How come they wouldn't go on my show?
Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson. How?
Anyway. Every great guest you want. So. But because, this for instance, I would have, I always kind of wanted Mary to read Love and Rockets.
Okay.
Because I knew she would love it. But she would never read it, Mary Millis, to read Love and Rockets.
Once again, you're the worst spy in the world.
I am the worst spy in the world. And she would never...
Our ships are in Paris.
But you know, you can't... You can.
I mean...
There's an old expression. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Yes.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I wish every time that you messed up with that and like mm-hmm. revealed information you didn't want to, yeah. I could play the Get Smart theme.
Sorry about that, Chief.
Okay, but please continue. You can lead a horse to water, but so, if it breaks its leg, you have to shoot it.
You have to shoot it. That's the old saying, right?
That's right.
Okay. So, because, I wanted her to read Love and Rockets, and I'd show it to her and be like, oh, look at this comic. It's really good, blah, blah, blah. She'd be like, yeah, okay. Black and white, not that interesting. But somewhere, I think she's reading some book about like the comics you have to read in your life. And Love and Rockets was there, and she's like, oh, I know Dad has that. So she started reading it and loved it and just, went through it like a shot, as she's wont to do, because she's kind of like me and has an obsessive personality.
Right.
And when she gets on a kick, she just goes until it's done. And so that's great, right? That it's there for her. Like when the girls were young and they wanted to read Tintin, Tintin was there, and it's there for them, right? I can't force them to do it, but I just, I love that aspect of our library.
I wish that I had read The Hobbit, because that was something my dad did try to get me to read mm-hmm. and I didn't read. And I feel a little bad about that. I think that could have been a bonding thing.
Yeah.
And I'll just mention like my dad.
And what age was
my dad passed away like in 2000. So yeah. I'm putting that in the past tense. And your father's still with you.
Yes.
Right now.
Yep.
Oh, there he is. What's he doing with the showgirls?
He's singing Barbershop if I know my dad.
Okay.
But
why is he wearing pasties? This feels weird.
And there.
Well, he is a bass.
He's actually a baritone.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, you can tell.
Yeah. Because where he wears
Put on some pants, we can tell. Okay, go ahead.
I can't remember where I was going.
Nope.
It's okay.
Thoughts of naked fathers right out the windows. Is there they go. Is there
you
they
blew
go.
Blew my mind.
Now, you had something you missed talking about last week, and I want to make sure that we get to it this
okay.
week. All right.
Okay. Because this was I was cleaning up some stuff at home.
Okay.
And I don't know if I talked about it on the show before, but I worked on a fishing boat one summer
right.
while I was going to farrier school.
You were a salty sailor.
I decided it wasn't – I hadn't done enough work shoeing horses all day long in a school. Okay. I needed to go work on a fishing boat
and
for the summer.
And shoe seahorses.
Shoe seahorses. That's right. Sandals. You put sandals on seahorses.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, because they carry the babies and are a little effeminate,
mm-hmm.
the fellas.
They,
okay.
use that little, what's it called, a Bjorn bag or something like that?
Yep, Bjorn, sure. I thought you were actually talking about something seahorsey, and I'm like, I really don't know.
I don't know. Either.
I can't help you with seahorse jokes.
No.
All I know is the males carry the babies.
And the women have the saddle.
Yeah, but that's just a fetish thing.
Oh, isn't that terrible, that horse fetish?
Have
you ever seen it?
I don't know if it's any worse than anything else.
It seems so awful. Because it seems so corny.
That's right? One thing I always think about spanking now that we don't really spank kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, where are you going to get your fetish from?
Yeah. Well, that's true.
What, are you going to put people in timeouts?
Yeah.
Is that going to be the
that's
big gonna thing?
Be the, well, yeah, because that's still a form of dominance, though. So people who like to be dominated.
Will just be like your Blair Witch Corner business.
Well, I was just watching this show, which used to run on, I don't know if it's still on, but it's called Kink.
Okay.
And I in the days when there was enough, there was.
Are you thinking of the show Kink of Kensington?
Kink of Kensington
was an old CBC show, which was about a fella who lived in Kensington Market and would do a lot of fetish stuff every week. His mom would walk in and go, "Oh no!"
Al Waxman. I'm not thinking of the band Kinks of Leon.
And they called him Al Waxman because he was a man who was completely waxed. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, he did the Cuban wax.
He did a movie about being the port man as well.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was about the story about the poor man. But please continue with yours.
Okay.
Actually, true story.
Actually, true story.
So you were on a fishing festival. I assume it's like the TV show Deadliest Catch.
I have no idea. I've never seen it.
Oh, well, as a former fisherman, you should watch that show.
I should. Well, we fished off the west coast of the west coast of Vancouver Island.
Good. That's very far away from where the perfect storm happens.
Is that right? Yeah, because that's on the east coast.
That's right. That's as far away as you can get.
Yeah, I couldn't get any farther. Although we were in a huge storm. We were just working crazy hours. Like it was 16-hour days every day.
That's ridiculous.
I was exhausted. But we had such a bad storm that it actually woke me up out of my sleep. That's how bad the storm was. And I'm not an easy person to wake up.
Right.
Not at all easy.
And were the other fellas more experienced than you?
Yes.
And when the storm was happening, were they all white-knuckled or were they all bleh?
Well, we were a little bit because the storm was blowing the other ships towards us. Like everyone was dragging their anchors. So we had to pull our anchor up and then move away from the other boats.
Okay.
Because it was just too dangerous. But anyway, so I worked. Yeah, I was the second deckhand. There was a first deckhand, and he seemed to feel that I should do all the crummy jobs.
Now, was there a third deckhand?
No.
So you were the lowest deckhand.
I was the lowest person on the totem pole.
Okay. Though with totem poles, the lowest thing is not necessarily the least thing.
Oh, is that right?
Let's just remember that. Whenever people say, I'm the low man on the totem pole, you know that frog on the bottom?
Yeah.
It's just as equal to everyone on the top. It's not a ranking system.
I don't think so. He's everyone sitting on top of his head. How could that be equal?
He's strong. He's just strong. Maybe he's the strongest of the bunch. Okay. Because he can have, like, everyone on top of
him. He's strong, but smells and everything.
Wow.
So
racist.
To frogs.
To First Nation frogs.
To First Nation frogs. Oh, that's right. I take that back.
Yeah. What's red and green and mad all over? First Nation frog after hearing that joke.
Did you just call him red?
What's that?
Did you just call it red?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
What's going on?
The red Indian frog.
What's happening?
I don't know. I thought I heard you say that.
Anyway, I'm going to have some big red gum right now.
Okay, you do
Shut
that.
Shut my damn mouth.
Yeah, have some red licorice.
All right. I'm putting a nickel in the hate crime jar. That's fair enough.
Okay. So we would get up at 6 in the morning.
Okay.
I would work in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. First, you do a bunch of push-ups and sit-ups. Keep yourself in shape.
That's right. That's what I did. After my morning calisthenics...
A couple of laps around the boat. Hey, fellas, with like a headband, Olivia Newton-John style.
It was really hard doing laps because you'd run around, have to climb up the ladder, run around the upper part, climb back down the ladder, run around to the other ladder, climb up.
Yep.
It was really a lot of work.
Sure.
But
you care about your figure.
I do. I'm vain. Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay. You know the song You're So Vain? Have I mentioned that I worked for the guy who that song was about?
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
So you worked for Warren Beatty?
No, it's not about Warren Beatty.
Oh, you worked for Mick Jagger.
It's not about Mick Jagger.
Are you sure?
I am pretty damn sure.
Who is it about?
It's about David Steinberg.
Who's David Steinberg?
David Steinberg is a comedian and a producer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Who did all the Moses kind of
yeah.
Old Testament jokes in the
Then got the Smothers Brothers kicked off. And I worked with him off the air. That was actually the final straw, was his Moses stuff.
Oh, really?
And that's what got the Smothers Brothers pulled.
Oh, dear.
But I worked on a show called Big Sound that he was a producer
of. Okay.
And in the course of that, things got revealed, and it was like, oh, that's who the song was really about.
Possibly.
Look it up.
Possibly.
Look it up. Okay.
Because you never stated, Carly Simon never stated for certain who it was about.
That is true. But if you add things up, but
okay.
Anyway, okay. You're busy. You're doing your jazzercising on the deck of the boat.
I was doing my jazzercise because I brought my ghetto blaster
to the song Physical.
Yes. So that would be blasting out over the water, and I would be doing my jumping jacks and somersaults along the side of the boat. Then I would get up. I would go down into the freezer, which was 40 below. It was cold in there.
That is very
I would work for 2 hours. What you had to do was take all the frozen fish off the racks,
mm-hmm.
and I have to fill a garbage can full of seawater, and then you would dip the frozen fish into the garbage can and glaze them with the water.
Wow.
Because we were graded, we were marked for our quality of our fish presentation. Because all our fish was sold to Japan for sushi.
Okay.
So it was all this high quality fish. So we trolled. So there had to be...
This is before internet trolling.
This is before internet trolling. This is totally different than that
you
kind
of
trolling.
You are old school troll.
I was an old school troll. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was under a bridge.
Okay.
So, but besides that, when I was working on the boat, I had to stop doing the bridge stuff. So, you know, we trolled. You know what trolling is for
Not
fishing?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay. There's three different kinds of salmon fishing. This was salmon fishing, by the
All
way.
All right.
There is gill netting, which you put nets in the water, and it kind of catches the fish by their gills okay. in the net, and then you pull it in, and then you take the fish out.
All right.
There is seiners, which have the big nets that, you know, kind of get pulled out of the water into a big kind of bag.
When you see a movie about fishing, that's what you see.
That's what you generally see, yeah.
That's when you find the dead body, and you have to call the
that's
law and
right,
order.
That's right, you have to call it, or Little Nemo's in it, Finding Nemo's in it, not Little Nemo. That's no. a totally different thing, but Nemo from Finding Nemo.
Could be Little Nemo. We might yeah. dream about fishing.
Sure. And yeah, so that's a seining boat.
Okay.
But we were a troller. Trollers have lines, like fishing lines.
Okay.
Like there's three lines on either side of the boat that go into the water that are weighted down, and then you have lines that come off of those lines straight out. And then you have lures on those lines, and the fish bite the hook.
Oh, wow.
And then you pull your lines in, and then you gaff the fish in, clonk them on the head.
Now, what's the most effective way of all of those?
It's not the most effective, but it produces the highest quality in terms of presentation.
Okay.
And that's what you're looking for. Yeah. Because these were fish that were sold to market. So when I was gutting the fish, I would have to cut the head off, but leave, and then cut straight down the belly to take out the guts. But I'd right. have to leave a certain... and I was marked for how much of a throat latch was left to hang on a hook and mark it.
Now, who would judge you?
The people who we sold the fish to.
Okay.
They would go through all the fish and mark it for how clean it was, how clean the gutting was, like
yeah.
how, you know, the cleanness of the cutting, how the head was taken off, how the guts taken out, and also for how much, the blood was all washed out.
Right.
Because you'd gut it. So you'd grab the guts in your hand,
right.
cut around, and then throw them in the water.
Okay.
Throw the head in the water.
Right.
And then
some happy fish in the water.
Oh,
is
yeah.
going, sweet.
Yeah, a lot of dogfish following you wherever you go.
Ah, yeah.
And then you would use a spatula with a hose
right.
with running water, and you would clean up the blood.
Okay.
Put those fish into a tote
mm-hmm.
and then wait a while. And then you do other fish, and then you take those and then you'd switch around and get the fish that had been waiting, and they'd have more blood. So then you'd wash that out.
Right.
And once all that kind of blood had bled out of them, you'd put them on freezer trays, freeze the fish. Took about 20 minutes to freeze them solid.
Okay.
And then you would put them down into the hold. And then in the morning, you would take all those fish that you did the day before and you'd glaze them all and then stack them in the hold.
Wow.
And yeah, so it was...
Now, you'd spend how long in the 40 minus 40?
Well, 2 hours in the morning and then usually another 2 or 3 hours during the day.
Okay. Now, you're talking minus 40 centigrade.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. To our American listeners.
Yes.
Centigrade.
Centigrade. Yeah.
Now, what are you dressed like in that? Because I've been in like minus 40 weather, like outside,
mm-hmm.
and you got to fucking dress up.
Yeah.
Like you got to pad it
up. I learned that because I was really cold.
What taught you that lesson?
Being in the freezer for 2 hours.
Okay.
I learned very quickly that I was not adequately dressed.
And you looked on the floor and it was like, that's my nose.
That's right. So what was lucky was we filled it really quickly our first time out. So we went back into shore and I immediately bought some long johns and wool socks.
No one told
like
you bring long johns.
No.
What? Fuck
well, it. They told me to dress warmly, but I live in Vancouver.
Right.
Our idea of dressing warmly is to put on an extra sweater.
Right. So right? So you're there with like a rain slicker.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
I think I brought an extra sweater. No, you need like the full body stocking. So yeah.
That's
I quickly
for
learned.
Sissies.
I quickly learned.
Yeah.
But before, when I started working on the ship, the first thing the skipper gave me were these things, which I call fish tags.
Okay.
And what they were was to help you recognize the fish.
Oh,
that you
all
caught.
Right. Okay.
So it would have
so
like,
Dave's right now holding fish
yeah,
tags
I'm holding
in
fish
his
tags.
Hands.
So if you look at them, see, there's the coho fish.
Right.
And then it would have a description on the back to help you identify it.
Okay.
Because there are three fish that are worth money when you fish.
Okay. One is the dollar fish.
One is the dollar fish.
One is the goldfish. I would assume the goldfish would be the standard.
The goldfish is the standard. That's
okay.
Right. We go by the goldfish standard.
And the silverfish, almost as good.
Almost
but
as good.
Unfortunately, it's not an actual fish.
Yeah. And so the three big fish are the coho okay. salmon.
Coho salmon.
Chinook or spring salmon.
Okay.
Which are the big salmon you often see. And then the sockeye salmon.
All right.
Which in the old days was garbage.
And now?
Is worth a lot of money because of sushi.
Right.
They love it in Japan. They love the sockeye. But before that time, you know, like when we were kids, we could get canned salmon. It was always sockeye
always
salmon.
Always sockeye, yeah.
Now,
full of bones.
Now that stuff is like $7 for a tin of sockeye salmon because the market for sockeye
now, my question,
in Japan is
my
so
question
high.
To you, when we were kids and we had your sockeye salmon mm-hmm. in a can, you open it up
yeah.
and it'd be a little pink and a little gray.
Yeah.
And then it would be full of bones.
I don't remember the bones.
Like
but okay.
the round little bones.
Okay,
like,
yeah. Almost like that's okay. That, you can eat that.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
So like as you're cutting a fish, do you have to take those bones out?
No. When we were cutting it, it was kept just the way it was. Like,
but the bones aren't a problem with – why are the bones not a problem with sockeye? But their bones are a problem with every other fish. Like you wouldn't, if you had like tuna, you wouldn't, and the bones are fine. You would never have that. Why is it with sockeye salmon any different?
I guess, I think it depends. Like I think it'd be, because when you have a can, you're getting it in a brine, aren't you? Like it's.
I'm not sure.
It soaks for a while in
you
the can.
You tell me, fish man.
Well, I don't know. I didn't work in a cannery.
Okay.
So I don't know about the cannery.
Maybe
aspect,
while you're sitting
it?
Around with the other chaps and talking salmon.
We didn't talk salmon.
What did you talk about?
Girls.
And they were pro?
We watched movies. Yeah, they were all for girls.
Okay.
You said to yourself, you know what are great? Girls. And I was like, yeah.
And then you started watching movies. No movies with like boats sinking.
We didn't watch Jaws.
Never watched Jaws.
No, we never watched Jaws. My most exciting moment while I was fishing was one day a whale almost hit the boat.
What type of whale?
It was a gray whale.
Okay.
And
so an older whale.
It was zooming along.
Okay.
It was, yeah, senior citizen whale. It was zooming along.
I got the right of way. Where's my kids?
It notices at the last second and it dove down and I could touch it. I could reach out and touch
wow.
the whale. It was that close to the side of the boat. Before it came though, the skipper came running out of the cabin and he's like, bring up the gear. Cause he was afraid that the whale would get caught up in the fishing
yeah,
stuff
yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
and tear it all away. But it was before it all.
Holy moly.
It was a bit scary. But anyway, so we were given these tags. And I was talking to someone about it on the weekend, actually. I mentioned these tags. So, yeah. Oh, sockeye. What is sockeye? Almost toothless.
Mm-hmm.
And has prominent eyes.
What's that mean?
It's kind of bulgy eyes.
Okay. Looks always surprised.
And
surprised it's being pulled out of the water.
And because this is Canada, it weighs 2.2 kilograms to 3 kilograms.
Okay.
Around 7 pounds.
It's thinner than it would be in the States. You say they have a fatter mm-hmm. fish.
Yes, there you go.
Because they eat more McDonald's.
Coho.
Okay, that's a Christmas fish.
Has white gums.
Okay.
A black tongue.
Okay, well, how are you looking at its tongue? Like, what do you do?
You're supposed to identify when it's in front of you while you're getting it.
Oh, okay. You're not like looking yeah. at it in the sea going like, open yeah. your mouth.
Because ideally, you'll be separating the wheat from the chaff while you're working, right?
Oh, no, so, that's not what you do with fish, Dave.
Well, I'm speaking as an analogy.
Okay, because otherwise you're yeah. farming.
You know what's... Okay.
Are you fish farming?
Yes, that's right. It has a wide tail base
okay.
and a black... square tail.
Square tail, okay.
Which doesn't look very square in this picture. Then there's...
You should redraw it for them.
Then there's a Chinook or spring salmon. It has black gums.
Okay.
Again, with the black gums. Heavily spotted tail, but it can weigh 1.5 kilograms to 30 kilograms.
Wow.
And we got some really big ones when we yeah, were fishing.
Like that seems random. Big. That seems not right.
They're huge. They're good for barbecue.
Not the 30-pounder.
Spring or
not
cocoa.
The 30 dealer. That's no good. Can't fit that in a barbecue.
But you know what's funny is I did it so much that I could actually recognize the fish by their flesh.
Oh.
Like as soon as I opened it up, I knew what it was.
Now, my question to you is, you don't eat fish now, right? Is that
I've never
of
been
that?
I've never been a fan of fish.
Was that disturbing to you when you were like on a fishing
no,
boat?
No.
Yeah. Like what's the thing? You don't like the taste? You don't like the smell?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the taste of fish.
Okay.
It's just kind of fishy tasting. I don't mind.
Can be.
I don't mind a white fish.
Okay.
I'll eat a halibut.
A fish and chip. Will you have a mm-hmm. little of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like that. I like a halibut or cod and stuff. I just find salmon to be very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they say. If you walk into like a sushi place and you can smell fish, get out of there.
That's no good. Is that what they say?
Basically, yeah. I mean, there's some exceptions, obviously. But for the most part, yeah, if you're smelling the fishiness, well, you're doing it wrong. Then the fishy smell that we associate with fish means it's just been hanging around too long. I remember when I was a kid and anytime we say when I was a kid, take a drink. Or you hear an ambulance go by, take a drink. When I was a kid, there used to be a seafood store next to where I got my hair cut.
Okay.
And so occasionally we'd pop in because mom would get something. And it was unbearable, the smell. Like unbearable. They'd just walk in and just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It was just like kryptonite. You just yeah. like couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
And I went back as an adult and it still smells the same. But as an adult, I can stand it.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think like when you're a kid, your senses are so
yeah.
pure that just like, well, this is ridiculous. And you forget that again when you're feeding a kid something. Sometimes you're like, they got no filters or anything. It's just like if something tastes bad, lordy, lordy, does it taste bad?
Hmm.
Full on.
So, okay. I have told you three salmon.
Oh, okay. This is a guessing game.
You have to name three other salmon that I didn't name.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Can you do that?
Brad.
Brad?
Brad the salmon.
Brad the salmon. Okay.
Okay.
Not
other
by first name.
Salmon. So you
salmon.
Said coho. You said Chinook.
Yeah.
And sockeye. All right. Sockeye. Salmon. Red salmon?
Close. It's a color.
Pink?
That's right.
Okay, good. Pink salmon.
Pink salmon, good.
The effeminate version of the red
which
salmon.
That's what you'll mostly find in cans now. Because pink salmon, it's kind of a junky.
Okay.
It's not as nice
it's
a flesh.
It's a junky.
It's not as nice a flesh. It's not
You're saying
nice.
This fish does drugs.
It does drugs, yeah.
That's okay, what I mean. All right. Oh, jeez, pink salmon.
Then there's one that's your friend. It's a good old...
Pal. Chum.
Chum, that's right.
Okay,
chum
that's
salmon.
Good, chum. Yep. Okay, all right, give me a clue for the next one.
Okay.
I like this.
And then the third one is a freshwater salmon.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that exists in freshwater.
Right.
When it's not spawning, blah, blah, blah. And this one, it's... I'll give you the last part of it.
And everyone at home, guess along.
Yeah, you guess along with this. It I'll give you the last word. It's kind of a two-word thing combined.
Okay.
It's a hard head.
Steelhead?
That's right.
Okay.
Good job. Steelhead salmon. That's right. Good for you.
Thank you.
I never caught any steelhead because they don't live in the ocean.
No.
They're freshwater.
Oh, okay.
But chum and pink. But like I say, I could tell if you opened one up for me at that time, I could have told you it by the flesh.
If you walk by like a fish market right now, you can just look and go like
I could
boom,
tell.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh,
boom.
Yeah.
Nice.
I could do that actually.
I
do that at Granville Island.
I wish we had some way of testing you on that right now. You know what? Here's the thing.
Well, because
someday we will do a live version of this show.
Okay.
When that happens, everybody, bring your favorite salmon. And Dave will guess from
Dave
the flesh.
Will guess it from
the flesh.
Yep.
What it is. And we'll try not to make the show run too
well,
long
because
you're holding salmon in your lap.
Well, I can't say I can do the flesh thing anymore. But if I look at a salmon, I can tell what it is.
You can tell what it's thinking.
Yeah. I mean, when I worked in the boat, that was the year Millis was born, so that was 94.
Right, and that was the reason that you were on the boat.
That was the reason I went on the boat.
Because you went, I want none of this, and you tried to take off.
I had a daughter who was...
So long, suckers,
yeah,
you said.
I had a daughter who was coming.
Yeah.
And I just said to my wife, you know what? Have fun with the pregnancy. I'll be on the boat. And I left.
Because there's nothing more glamorous than being on a boat.
Nothing more glamorous.
So was it like a cruise?
No.
So you had a little cabin, and then you did like you had gambling and stuff
on
there, dancing?
I slept on a bunk that was shorter than me.
I thought you were going to say, I slept on a fish.
I slept on a fish. Why would you think I was going to say that? Because that seems unnatural.
Well, one of those 30 pounders.
I slept in a pile of fish that was there because we didn't freeze it.
Yep.
I just slept on it on a pile of cold, frozen fish.
The seagulls would wake me up every morning pecking at my eyes.
I slept right beside the engine room.
Okay.
So it was this hot, miserable,
sounds great.
Noisy place.
Sounds great.
Yeah. It was awesome.
But you
but
know,
I made a shitload of money.
Yeah. And you got a great daughter.
And I got a house out of it.
There you go.
Paid for the down payment for our first mortgage.
There you are. Well, good for you. This has all come full circle then. You know what? Here's the thing. Dave and I, after this, we're going to do an episode of another podcast that I'm going to be doing called No And. And Dave will be interviewing me. And so I feel a little good that I kind of got a little stuff out of you today.
There you go.
There we are. We all got to know Dave a little better.
But
now,
I just want to say one last thing about the fish tags before
you can say as many things as you want about the fish tags.
I just, because I was talking to someone about them on the weekend.
Okay.
And I mentioned I'd found them. And he said he thought it was interesting because in people working in the lumber industry also get tags. To identify different
types I thought they get fish tags as well, and they go,
no,
this is completely useless
to me, and they would throw them away. No, they get ones for timber to identify different cuts of trees. Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting that the different resource industries have these little identification things to help.
Oh, when I was saying red salmon, I meant redwood. I was thinking that
you're
those
thinking
were
you're getting
tags.
Mixed up with, you had it mixed up with redwood.
That's
we don't actually have any redwood here in British Columbia, so it's unlikely they would have had those tags. But,
yeah, okay. Well, that's good clarification on my bit. It's a good thing after you tell a joke, just like, let's explain why that doesn't work. We got a thing coming up where we're going to be answering listener questions. And so if you have a question, now listen, I'm going to expand this and go like, you got a question about Dave and Dave's mysterious past. He is ninja-like. He does not reveal a lot. Like just a little bit every show, we learn a little bit more.
Yes.
If you want to know something about Dave, no matter how personal, he will answer it.
I will answer it.
He will answer any question.
If you want to hear all my cancer stories, I will tell them to you.
Sure.
I can be real bore about it if you want.
We're probably going to have like an episode where we talk about that and at some point in the future. And that one is going to win us the Emmy.
It will.
For podcasting.
The Emmy.
Yeah, they got a special Emmy
for medical examiner.
That's right.
We really enjoyed your one about medicine. The whole cancer one was great. The Emmy loved it.
And we're both going to get honorary doctorates.
We should.
And then you know what you're going to do? You're going to tell your mom about it, and then she's going to not care.
That's true. That's true.
Does your mom know you have a podcast, by the way?
She does. And this is the question I get. So do you make any money from that?
And you go, Mom, I don't gamble. That's the only way you make money, right?
That's the only way.
I told my mom
what I say to her is, fuck you, Mom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know she doesn't listen.
Because she doesn't care.
I don't think she listens to this is the real reason.
That I would say that?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to say that.
I don't care what my mom hears.
Well, I'm just thinking on Christmas dinner, you're not sitting around just like, hey, mom, fuck you. Yeah. I don't think that's coming out of your mouth.
No, because she's feeding me.
Oh, good for you.
The rest of the year.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I'm not ungrateful. I told my mom about this podcast, and that's what she's like, say? It's ridiculous. You can't like explain it.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
They don't understand
that. The only way, she's got a tablet that she got.
Oh, okay.
Bless her. Yeah. She got a tablet, and she's loving her tablet. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know what kind it is, Samsung, something?
Sure.
So what I've got to do is I've got to put some of them on there.
Yeah.
And she's going to go on a cruise soon, so oh. I'll put a bunch on there that aren't too filthy and,
good
and
luck.
See what she gets. Yeah. I mean, I could have put this one on if you didn't start swearing like a sailor.
When did I swear?
Like a fishmonger.
I never sold fish, but yes, I did swear like a fishmonger.
So there's fishmongers, there's ironmongers. Mm-hmm. Are there any other mongers?
Mongermongers. Those are people who sell other mongers.
Okay, fair enough. Let's wrap this show up. David, it's up to you to wrap this show up.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's your week to wrap up.
You don't have anything you want
to plug?
To okay. Plug before we...
I do have a comic coming out very shortly called Mars Attacks the Holidays by IDW. And it's go to your local comic shop or pick up a Simpsons or Futurama comic. Maybe there's one of those for me. And once a month, I do a show called The Critical Hit Show. Oh, also, go on Funny or Die, look up Canadian Kung Fu. Got a video on there. Maybe you'll find that funny.
It is good. And I also read your story that you have in... Mars Attacks the Holidays, and it was very good, really funny.
Oh, thank you very much. Dave, Dave read a preview copy of
yes,
that.
Yes, your usual cleverness, which
oh,
I always appreciate.
Heart. Bless your heart.
So, with that, a bit of mutual backslapping.
By the way, if you want to compliment Dave, he's always fishing for compliments.
It's true, because I'm a fishmonger.
That's right.
A compliment monger, you forgot that one.
Oh, I did forget that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye.